everybody. Welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I'm here with my sweet friend, Jan Weed. Love when we get to hang out.
I do too.
It's going to be so fun, y'all. Jan is just one of those people that is so kind, so supportive. You have the gift of encouragement.
Thank you.
She's just, you want Jan to be your friend. Get to know Jan. She will encourage you so much, and you're so sweet. How long have you and Jean been at Sagemont now?
We have been at Sagemont 24 years.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. Now, I know from women's ministry, you serve with me since even before I was here, have been serving on the women's ministry team, doing a team,
right?
Which a lot of people don't know what that is because it's the behind the scene team of the women's ministry. It stands for assimilation team. And you and your group of women reach out to all the new women members that are 18 and older.
Right.
And y'all do such a good job. Talk a little bit about why that's important to you.
Well, first of all, as we often hear, we have a big church.
Yes.
And when you come to church, you often don't know where to start or what to do or what's available. And so we have such a vibrant women's ministry that our team contacts the ladies by phone. And as we know, most people don't answer their phones anymore.
Sorry. It's so that's changed kind of over the years.
Downside. But we still send them a card. We leave a message that invite them to like L&O, the holiday brunch, the Bible studies. We just want to let them know what's available through the women's ministry and start bringing them in to where they can feel settled and won't feel like it's such a big church. Like we're always hearing it's the church within the church.
Absolutely.
And so when you get into Bible studies and come to L&O and those type things, you really learn and meet new friends and you start working your way into the church, and it just leads to a much more satisfying membership.
Yeah, and it's so important because one thing we hear a lot statistically is people will come to a church for a year. If they don't feel plugged in, they're probably going to go try another church. That doesn't mean that the church isn't trying to get them plugged in. Sometimes they just won't take the steps, right? It's got to be a two-way street. But the church also has to be super purposeful to go, we're so excited that you came to know the Lord, maybe for the first time. You got baptized. And then we say, now get plugged in. But we want to be, we want to help people get plugged in.
Yeah.
And I think it was so great this last L&O. I think we gave away like 10 or 15 tickets
there was a
to
big
new
response,
members, which was so exciting.
Yeah.
So that meant y'all were getting in touch with ladies and you were talking to them. And that's one of the things we'll do is say, hey, ladies night outs this month. Come and enjoy. Here's a ticket on us, and we want you to come and get plugged in.
Because it's a no-pressure thing. They're coming for fun. They're coming to hear the word. They're coming to worship. They're seeing young women, old women, everyone on the spectrum.
Yeah.
And so it just, I think it's just a place to be yourself and be comfortable and enjoy the benefits of what Sagemont has to offer.
Yes. And I will say, if you are someone that's like, I would love to call people, I would love to send a card, I'd love to text them and then call them so they recognize your number. We have to get all of the sneaky ways of trying to get people to answer the phone. If you are a woman and you're like, I have time to do that once a month, make a couple of phone calls, reach out to Jan, reach out to me. I can connect you with Jan. We'd love to have more people that are helping with that. Y'all have a great team right now, but this month's DSL, Discover Sagemont Lunch, has almost 100 new people that are interested in Sagemont registered.
Yes.
And so y'all's job has gotten exponentially busier.
Yes.
And it's going to continue, which is awesome and so fun.
Yes.
But y'all probably do need a few more people to.
I would think so.
If we're going to have 100 people.
Yes, 100 people at DSL. We might be several months calling that many people. But yeah, we're always open. The one thing that you have to be willing to do is do a cold call, which is you don't know these ladies or whatever. But you call them and talk to them as if you've just met a new friend.
That's right.
And you, you know, conversation, marriage, children, you know, where do you now live? How long have you been at Sagemont? Or, you know, where was your previous church?
What brought you here? Yes, all the things.
You know, so glad to hear you just got baptized. I mean, there's a ton of things. But, you know, as women, we never run out of things to talk about.
That's right. Yeah. And we give you, like, quite a, we try to give you as much information as we can. Are they single? Are they married? Are they widowed? Did they come by statement? Did they come by baptism? Or, you know, all those different things. So at least you have
a little bit
working
of a base.
Knowledge a little bit when you're calling to talk to them.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is, yes, it's a cold call because you don't know them, but it's not because they're a member of your church and part of the family of God. Yeah. And so having to get past that. But yes, yeah. you do have to be able to pick up a phone
yes, and pick up the phone and
make a phone call yeah. and talk to somebody you maybe don't know.
Who doesn't like to pick up and talk to another lady?
Especially if, I mean, because even if they answer and they're like, who are you? And you get talking to them.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. We've had some really good stories come out, you know, that, oh, I knew that this lady when she was a little girl. Oh, you know, there's been a few of those instances, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. And so, and you just see the generations. Now, that woman or that little girl now has a family of her own. And so, and it just, like, Kristen Escavitz was contacted this last time. And Ada Burke got her name. And, you know, she was able to talk about her relationship from years back and you, Kristen, when she's a little girl. So it really is it can be such a blessing.
Really fun. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I love it. So if you're interested in that, let us know. And you might not realize because we've been talking about it for a long time. That's not why I invited you on. That's just a sneak peek commercial we wanted to do. But we were in a women's ministry meeting a couple of months ago. We were talking about change. Something was changing or something was happening. And just we were walking out of the room and you said something along the lines of everything changes. We need to be prepared for it. We need to handle it. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at you and I said, what? And you said, yeah, I've gone through a lot of change in my life and in one specific season, a ton of change. And just how you handled that and how you walked through that. And I was like, do you want to come on table talk? That's a great topic. Because, listen, I hear this. Anything living is changing.
Yes.
Because it should be growing.
Yes.
And so change, we should look at change as a good thing. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not what we picked, even if it's not fun to go through, if it's changing us and making us more like Christ, even if it's the hardest things, it's changing your mindset. So talk a little bit just about this big season of change you had.
Well, I never liked change in years past. It was just give me my rut, let those sides build higher, let me do my thing and, you know, my schedule, my routine, just leave it alone. You know,
all the comforts.
All the comfort things. And then through a very long season, God changed everything. It started off with my dad dying, and then I had a daughter to graduate, and several years later got married, and then I went through a divorce. Then my son went off to college, graduated, and went off to college, and I will tell you, at that point in time, being an empty nester was very hard for me because you get used to all the activity and the in and out, and then all of a sudden the house was very quiet because I was now alone. And then the boss I'd worked for 25 years, he retired. And then my best friends moved away. And then I changed jobs. I had a 32-year career at NASA, and so, but I'd stayed in this one organization for a long, long time. And then when my boss left, well, I moved to a different organization. And so that whole period of time, it was just one change after the other. A lot of adjustments because, you know, and you just... You kind of accept them, but then it's hard. The thing that has always, always stuck out at me about that season of change, and like I say, it was a number of years when all that happened, was that God was so good. He was so faithful to me, helping me put my son through college when I had a need. It was there. It was provided because, you know, when you just think, well, I just only have, you know, this one paycheck and it's got to be stretched really far or whatever. It was just, he was always there. As I looked upon him as, you know, my heavenly husband almost, and just thanked him for the provisions that he always gave me. I had a great circle of friends that undergirded me and you know, supported me, and we did things together. But it was the Lord just... You know, through change, that's the one we need to turn to, not necessarily pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, but depend on him because he, like he says, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. And he did not.
Yeah.
And he never has. But thank the Lord, I haven't had those hard seasons for a long, long time.
Yeah. When you were in the middle of that, like thinking back to the middle of it, did you have times when you were just like, Lord, are you kidding? this next, like, yeah. really another one? I'm just recovering from this, yeah. and now there's another one.
I cried a lot.
Okay, yes, exactly.
Because yeah, it was like, what else could happen,
yes.
you know, kind of thing, is that my kids are gone, you know, the marriage fell apart, the jobs have changed, you know, everything was just yeah. in such flux. But I would just, you know, I hated being alone. As you said, I'm a people person. Yeah. And I would come home at night from work, and first thing I would do, I'd go all through the house flipping on the lights and turning on the TV just to have noise yeah. and just to feel that the house was not empty.
Mm-hmm.
And those were hard days, and particularly in the winter when it got dark yeah. early and it was just so dreary and that sort of thing. But thankfully, I don't ever feel like I went through a depressed state.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a hard state.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
So
before you went through all that seasons of change, you had a relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so was there anything you can look back now and say, God prepared me to be able to walk through those seasons of change?
I think that probably it was getting deeper and more involved in the church mm-hmm. I belonged to at the time. Because then you had a almost like a purpose, you know, you mm-hmm. had something to go to so that you didn't stay in
right.
the house and get sad or just mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. go out and do things or whatever.
Well, and you said you had a group of friends.
And I had a group of friends
that
were
that
all
was,
typically from church,
yeah,
you know, kind
yeah.
of thing. So that's why church is so important, is
yeah.
to get connected, because when you go through those hard times, I think the Lord does give us those friends and those people in our lives through our church family that support us and undergird us and help us through those days, you
yeah.
know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think it's just growing, you know, you just continue growing closer to the Lord. You continued in your church activities and being where other people are that
mm-hmm.
you could associate with.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel like I hear often people when they go through those seasons of change and hard and those kinds of things, there's really two ways people handle it. They either get further away from the Lord
mm-hmm.
or they get closer to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think you chose to get closer to the Lord instead of blaming him? What are you doing?
Well, I give credit to the Lord for drawing me that way. But here again, I think just because I was working and I wasn't just staying in my
mm-hmm.
house, you know, and
mm-hmm.
therefore, and because it was so lonely, I was looking for other activities to do to fill up the time that
right.
I now had that I had never been used to having before.
Because, right.
you know, when you're raising kids, you're running a mom's
right.
taxi
mm-hmm.
and you're at school
mm-hmm.
events and dropping off here and doing this and that
right.
and the other. And all of a sudden that's gone.
Right.
And it's a really big adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's just because of who I am, I was not going to go away from the Lord
yeah.
and just the things that he showed me and how he provided for me
mm-hmm.
Said, you don't, you know, why would I want to go away from that?
Yeah.
Because I think when you go away from it, you miss the blessings that he has for you, or you miss the promises that he has said that he will give you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when people move away, I think that they feel, and rightfully so, I can understand that this, I'm the only one this has happened to.
Yes.
You get into that mode of
mm-hmm.
thinking, and then you feel alone, and you also feel like, well, I don't want to bother anybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of thing. And then I think for some people, they probably feel like, well, all this has happened to me. God has just forsaken me, so I don't want
right.
I don't want any more of him or church or whatever
mm-hmm.
because what I've learned these years is not true in my life.
Right.
And I have a tendency to look at it the other way, but you still have a paycheck. You're still eating.
Mm-hmm.
You still have a roof over your head. You still have those blessings. You're just going through a change in life. But change happens every day.
Mm-hmm.
If you, some of the changes like I went through were not all so good. And we know if you lose a spouse through death or
yeah.
you have wayward children or whatever, those are really, really hard changes to go. But I always say, hey, if nothing else, I get a day older, you know, and,
yeah.
and if nothing else, really big change. And I'm thrilled when not a lot of things do change. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, I'm getting older, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so, and I see the changes that that's bringing, mm-hmm. you know. And
absolutely.
That's getting to be a little bit difficult. Yeah. So.
And I think there's so much of what you're saying is a mindset mm-hmm. that you've chosen with the Lord to say, this is how we're going to look at mm-hmm. things. God, you have purpose. You are good, mm-hmm. and that's how you've chosen to look at things. And gosh, all of us as believers need to get to a place where that's where we look at things.
Yeah. And God is always good. I
yes.
mean, like I said, I really saw His goodness when I went through all of those changes.
Yeah.
I mean, even though things were taken away, other things would happen that would show me that He cared, mm-hmm. that He loved me, that He saw what I was going through, and that, you
yeah.
know, it was going to be okay.
Right.
And
I would say, if you're somebody going through hard changes and you're like, I don't see God in any of this, mm-hmm. I don't look.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
we just aren't looking.
Yeah.
For one, ask Him to show you, and then start looking. And maybe not for the huge thing, but just start noticing
the little things,
the small goodnesses of God.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And it will start building your faith.
Yeah.
And start, it will start that change of, okay, God is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It may not happen today, but like the small things, I can distinctly remember this, is that back in the day, they had balance billing with your electric bill. And so I went on balance billing. Well, in the summertime, you know, that helped you where the
right.
bill wasn't so high. Well, then come winter when you didn't need that. Well, like if I needed extra money, and this only happened a time or two, but it was I looked upon it as a big blessing.
Yeah.
I would get a zero electric bill. Mm. It's like, praise the Lord,
absolutely.
You know, kind of thing.
Yes.
That was one thing that
yes.
that left money for something else that I really had a need for that
absolutely.
Month, you know. So I think don't look for the big things, because that's not the way it's going to happen, or
yeah.
at least it was
yeah.
in my case. It was all the small things. And find one thing a day, and there's many more, but find one specific mm-hmm. thing a day that you can be thankful for. It may be nothing more than saying, I can get out of bed today.
Right.
It can be, you know, thank you that I have food on my table. I mean, hearing all, you know, the stories that come out of Kibera mm-hmm. is like, I'm not a fan of dusting or cooking either one. But then when I hear about those women, I think, how can I complain about anything
right.
when I have a full kitchen, mm-hmm. I have a refrigerator full of food, I have furniture that I can put
right.
my clothes in, and they're living in a tin shack. It's like,
yeah.
I need to get my priorities.
It changes
your
yes.
perspective. Yeah, but
changes
look at
how I think about things.
Small, because I see those ladies who have nothing, and the joy mm-hmm. that they have just so always touches mm-hmm. me when y'all send pictures back
absolutely.
Or you tell stories or whatever.
Yep.
Is they have nothing and I have everything, and I should even have more joy than they do.
Yeah.
But yet they put me to shame because
yeah.
they have such joy. So I think we can all look for ways to be thankful,
absolutely.
Even in the hard times. And I think we need to look for those things to be thankful for in the hard times, because it will get better.
Absolutely. And I will say, one thing I've learned with going to Africa as many times as I have and had that whole thought of
yeah.
process that with the Lord of, Lord, they are so filled with joy
mm-hmm.
and so trusting. And we sometimes struggle with those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we so often put our joy and comfort and all those kind of things based on physical,
yes.
earthly things.
Yeah.
They are trusting the Lord. They're sustained by the Lord. And He always shows up.
Oh,
and He's
absolutely.
Always good. And we should have that same thought process.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, a lot of times, pretty much every single day, whether it's a good day or a bad day is based on how things go here
yes.
on earth,
yeah.
not on God.
God, yeah.
And gosh, to be able to change that around. And at the end of the day, when somebody says, how was your day? To go, you know what? God is good. I had a great day.
I had a great day. Absolutely.
And that be, and not to
yeah.
discount the stuff we go through, right? We go through things and we need to process those and all of that. But man, if you find yourself in a season of change
mm-hmm.
and you just are down all the time, it might just be change what you're talking about and how you're talking about
mm-hmm.
it could be at least helpful.
Oh yeah. 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 And, you know, seek a friend that can, you
yes.
know, work with you and help you, or go to our great counseling center
yes.
or whatever, because, you can dig yourself a pit really quick.
Absolutely. I was going through some stuff last week, and I am very much one of those person when I go through stuff, I kind of go through it by myself, which is don't follow that. That's not the good way to do it. And one of Pastor Levi's messages had just talked about how, you know, sometimes God's going to send you people that are, and that he's going to use other people in your life to help you. And that was on a Sunday. That Monday, I had one of my friends call and say, hey, you just been on my mind.
Oh,
I'm praying for you a lot. Let's get together this week.
Yeah.
And y'all, I could have in my flesh gone, oh, that's so sweet. I'm good.
Yeah.
Or, oh yeah, I'm great. Hope you're doing well. That could have been the extent. And instead I said, yes, when can we meet this week? I need to talk to somebody. I need somebody to pray with me. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And we did that. And it was such a blessing. Mm-hmm. But so often, even when people reach out, we won't let our walls down to be real with and actually say, yes, this is something I'm struggling with and something I'm going through.
Call those holy hunches when somebody reaches out to you out of the blue. That means the Lord has put you or me or whomever on their heart for a reason. And he doesn't mean that we're supposed to sit there and do nothing with it.
That's right.
Thank goodness your friend reached out to you. And we should be, because when we don't accept their invitation, we're cutting off their ministry to us.
Absolutely.
God has given them the ministry to reach out to us.
Yep.
Nobody needs to know about it, but it's just, you know, be there for, because God has worked on through them to help you or
absolutely.
Whatever.
Well, and what's so bad is most of us, we're like, I'm usually the one asking.
Yes.
Like, I'm usually the one saying, hey, I'm thinking about you, praying, or what's going on, what's happening. And so then when it's the other way, that's when our pride and all the things get in play, and we're like, I'm fine. But when we ask other people, we're like, no, I want to, like, God did put you on my mind for a reason.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I think that's so important when we're going through changes is people.
Oh, absolutely.
And letting, and again, it is letting people in. If you walk into a Connect group on Sunday morning and you're like, I need people to see me and pray with me and encourage me, and you walk in and sit in the back corner and you don't speak to anybody, that might be a little bit on you.
Yeah.
If no one does more than, hi, good morning.
Yeah.
You are making that, you are presenting yourself as, I don't want anybody to talk to me.
Yeah.
And we're always want to be respectful of where people are at, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so it's so much of us letting our guard down and inviting people in.
Right.
And like you said, Sagemont's a huge place.
Absolutely.
You can get plugged in. You can find friends. You just have to be willing.
Yeah, I mean, it, like you say, it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
We can only go so far and do so much. You have to be willing to step in and do that. And this may be a downer, but I didn't know this man at all. But years ago at Sagemont, there was a young man in the Wednesday night service, and for whatever reason, I don't know any of the circumstances other than he was in church on Wednesday night. But by the end of that week, he had taken his life.
Wow.
And when you hear things like that, you think, oh, people, we're here. You know, we're here. Let us, you know. And so I try to be very purposeful to speak to people on Sunday morning and check to see if they're a new member or how long have you been here. And it's kind of embarrassing when you sit here, talk to somebody and they've been here 25 years. And it's like, this first time I've met you.
That does happen. And that's okay, too. You made a new friend.
It does happen. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you made a new friend.
But it's just, it's people, God put us on earth for relationships. He's all about relationships. So therefore, he wants us to be about relationship.
Absolutely.
And when we've got to love our brothers and sisters and know that they may be going through change that is not easy at all, a bad diagnosis, a death in the family, a wayward child, whatever the situation, those are hard. And during those times of change, it's really hard to not to close yourself off because you're suffering and you're in pain. But that's the time that, and you don't need a crowd, but you need that one.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's up to us a lot of times to reach out, because if we don't know you're hurting, I've often heard Brother Rex say, if we don't know you're in the hospital, we can't come visit you.
If we don't know, we can't go.
And we can't go. So it's the same way when we're hurting and we go through change. And I was just very fortunate. I had friends that knew I was going through all those changes. And so they would, hey, come on, we're going to go do this or we're going to go do that or, you know, what's going on today or whatever kind of thing. So that was a huge help to have those those close friends that came alongside you.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're here for.
Absolutely. And I think here at Sagemont, there's a huge part that of people that are here on a regular basis, our members and our people that would say this is their church home. Eyes up.
Yeah.
Start looking at who is around you.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the people that you haven't seen in a few weeks that you normally see. Notice the person that walks in and you can tell doesn't know anybody.
Right.
Be the body of Christ just here on campus, because the fact that God has gotten someone to walk onto this campus sometimes is a huge deal.
Absolutely.
And as the body of Christ, we don't want to miss, Ron Ingram says, low-hanging fruit. The stuff where you're like, I don't have to reach very far. To be the hands and feet of Jesus.
And we have a tendency, and rightfully so, I do the same thing, but we have a tendency to be around those people that we already know.
Sure.
But like you say, eyes up, because there's so many people. I can see those friends on another day. Like, you know, holiday brunch or whatever. I try to sit with somebody different because I see my friends. And yes, it's enjoyable to be with them and sit with them. But how many women are new and want to talk about, what do we have to offer at Sagemont? Or you find out through talking to them, they've got some, you know, real issues going on and they're lost. They don't know, not necessarily lost in their faith, but they're just lost knowing what to do and where to go.
Yeah.
And so.
There's fun in that balance.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. You can still be with your friends. You can go to lunch afterward. But, you know, make sure that you're seeing and meeting those people, because our church is growing.
Yes.
I mean, by leaps and bounds.
Yes.
And every Sunday I see a whole new group of people and I think, you know, it's really beginning to change. And that's hard for some people that we don't have the same groups that we've had or whatever kind of thing. But glory to the Lord, because that's more people in church that, you know, because of the world we live in today, this is where they need to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think that's such a good point of even looking at Sagemont and changes happening at Sagemont and being able to take a step back and go, okay, if the change is for God's good and His glory and for this place to be alive and active and growing, change is going to have to happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then for me to lay down my things.
Yeah.
To be able to go, hey, this, I probably wouldn't have picked this change, but man, if it's going to help someone come to know the Lord more, then I need to lay my stuff down.
Yeah.
So people can grow.
Well, because I look at it this way. I have the privilege of attending Sagemont, and I love my church and my church family, but ultimately this is God's church, and He knows what needs to happen here to draw people and to appeal to the masses, and there's always going to be a group that changes hard for them, and I understand that because I've been there, done that.
Sure.
But at the same time, right now, what I see at Sagemont is so exciting. And just we're growing and there's just so much happening. It's almost like you can't hardly keep up. But it just there's an excitement in the air. And and it's fun to embrace that because you wouldn't want a dead church. There's so many churches that have closed their doors because they didn't change.
Right. Yeah.
They didn't change.
Yeah. And man, I mean, Brother John used to always say, look at where God's moving and jump in.
Oh, yeah.
Get involved. There's so much here. Find a place and go, hey, I want to be a part.
Absolutely.
Of the change or the things that are happening.
Yeah.
We get the honor of doing that.
Well, and another change that's happening that I see is that those of us have been here for a while. We're getting older, and who knows how many years that we have left to serve. Right. We all hope we can serve till almost our last breath. But that means there's new people coming up behind us that they need to have the opportunity to serve. And because once we're gone, this is going to be their church.
Yeah.
And you have to be invested in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all, I think they said since January, every Sunday we've had over 100 babies in the nursery. Babies. Like littles.
Yeah.
100.
I need to go because I miss having all my grandbabies.
They need many volunteers to come rock babies on Sunday mornings. I'm like, I can rock a baby.
I can rock a baby.
Yeah. Come help rock babies. But you think about that. Okay, yeah. All of those little people have parents that brought them to church that are that generation that's coming up that needs to see the older generation saying, hey, we want you here. Even if it has to look a little different.
One of the things that you've done that I've absolutely loved is through Sagemont Women's Ministry. It's now a cross mix of all ages. For a long time, it was the same age, which that was okay because we weren't where we are today with so many young families and new babies. It's like it's turned over. But there's just a great cross section of old and middle and young, and these young girls are coming in with some great ideas, and they've got the energy that we're running out of.
They've got the energy, and they so want to serve.
They do.
They want to be a part. Yes. They want to jump in.
Yes, and I know it's hard because they're at the age, the stage that you and I both were with small children or middle schoolers or whatever, and you have a busy life too, but you still have to have an outlet for doing things for yourself and getting plugged in at church is just where it needs to be.
It's a huge, huge piece of it.
Yeah.
I think the last kind of thing I want to say with change is you went through a season of a lot of change. Mm-hmm. You got through that. And then, but that doesn't mean you haven't had any other change the rest of your life, right?
Right.
Like you said, it's every day.
Yeah, every day. Well, I mean, you know, God was good and gave me Jean, you know, kind of thing. And we celebrated our 25th anniversary in February.
That's wonderful.
And we've got 4 kids between us and 15 grandkids. And just to go from seeing all the babies being babies and now they're, you know,
getting older.
We've got, you know, some that are already in their mid to late 20s. And it's like, oh, wow, you know, kind of thing. And and I think the biggest change for me right now is, and it happens to everybody. I have a friend that says, well, we're getting closer to the tomb than the womb, which is so true. But it's the aging process. Yeah. It's, you know, because that gets a little bit harder because you start, and thank the Lord, I'm okay. Yep. I'm not complaining that I've got any of this right now, but I know it's coming, you know, is that there's going to be health issues and there's going to be a slowing down. And that's hard for me because I've always been an active person, always done, you know, gone and done and all that kind of thing. And just beginning to see those changes, that's going to be the next season that's going to be hard to go through.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but hopefully I will go through it with grace because I have many wonderful older friends that have aged so gracefully, so beautifully. Mm-hmm. Some of them can still just blow and go like nobody's business, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, they
and
do.
So it's like that when I get that, you know, a few more years, I'm almost there, but I want to do that, you know, kind of thing. Because, you know, God gave us this life and it's, and unfortunately, like the scripture says, it's like a vapor. It's over in no time. You blink your eyes and it's gone. Yeah, there's, if nothing else, I get a day older or a day slower, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. And so.
Well, I love you are such a, you're one of those people that's still going and doing, like you were talking about, looking up to people that are doing that. And I also think there are ways to serve the church, the Lord, our community, his people, that maybe look different than how you served when you were 30 or 40 or 50 or 60.
Yeah.
And that doesn't ever mean that you stop.
I don't think
it looks different.
Yeah.
It looks different.
Yeah, I like that. I don't think we should ever stop.
Yeah.
And like you say, and I think, you know, probably the church should help decide, you know, where can we use our seniors? Because there's a lot of knowledge there. There's a lot of godly wisdom there. There's a lot of years of service there that they can do different things. So sometimes it's kind of hard to find a place to plant yourself. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anywhere in the Bible it says we should retire from God's service. So,
and here, let me tell you all the places that you can come and serve. I mean, really, truly, I mean, A-Team is a great example. It's making phone calls. Beside ministry.
Yeah.
For men and women, being someone that's willing to share the life that you have walked through with the Lord, to share that back with someone, to be willing to do that. Listen, you don't have to go and blow and do all that to be a mentor through Beside. You just have to be willing to share your life and some time. And so there is that there. So I talked to a lady last week, and she was like, I really want to serve somewhere. And she's in her 80s, probably. And I said, well, what are you thinking? And she said, well, I can do this and this and this. And now she's a greeter.
Yeah.
On Sunday
yeah.
morning, you yeah. know, and yeah. she's loving it.
Yeah.
And she's like, I stand at the door and get to say hi to everybody.
Yeah.
I'm like, yep. Perfect.
Perfect.
So yeah. there are so, listen, rock babies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sitting and yeah. just rocking babies. So there are, it might look different and it might change what you've always done. But be willing to look for those things.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and so
and
good.
You or, you know, Wes or whomever are great resources to come
yes.
and ask. I want to serve, you know.
We'll help you.
I need a place to serve, and I'm sure you can find one. So,
absolutely. Yeah. We want to help yeah. you get plugged in. And y'all, like we said, change is part of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to always say, I like change that I'm in control of. I don't think that's what we always get. And no, right. No. But man, it is that being prepared mm-hmm. for things are going to change. That is inevitable. Mm-hmm. Preparing for that, surrounding people that support you. And y'all, the way you get people that support you is because you're supporting them. And it's that two-way street.
Yep.
And then when change comes, take a breath and go, okay, this is not going to destroy me.
And it won't.
And it won't.
I know it's really tough in some seasons that
in
you
the
think
middle
it
of
will.
It, yes.
But you just, it's put one foot in front of the other and right. one minute, it may be as much as a minute at a time,
right.
you know, kind of thing. But
yeah.
Everything happens for a purpose and everything has a season. And I think if we hang on to that and through all of that, I think the biggest thing for me is God is good. And
sure.
he never, the thing I always cling to is he never leaves us nor forsakes us.
Sure.
If anybody moves, we do.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
He's right there.
And the more we can lean into him and lean on him, we can make it through those changes.
Right. Amen. I love
yeah.
that. Thanks for hanging out
You're
today.
Welcome.
I love when you come and share wisdom. Y'all, Jan's a great person to talk with, to chat with about all kinds of things. But if you are like, I am in the middle
mm-hmm.
of changes like that, I know she would love to meet you. She'd
Absolutely.
Love to hang out with you. She'd love to chat with you.
Absolutely.
and so please, you can reach out to me. I can get you connected. Or if you see her in the hallway on a Sunday morning, definitely go up and chat with her. She would love that. So thanks for
having
hanging
me.
Out.
Yeah.
Thank you for spending time with us today at Table Talk. We will see you next time.